Like the reward button.
Hello and welcome to bonus Q&A quest, PAX East 2025 edition. I'm your host, Mike Apps, aka Wheels, and with me as always.
Not at PAX East, David and Bernie, Family Master.
So yeah, recording this the eve of the first night of PAX, i.e. the only night I'm going to talk about some games that I got to play today. I guess we'll start with kind of the cool one in that I got to play something on a Switch 2 today.
I'm not jealous.
To be fair, I didn't actually see the unit at all. I only got to just
I'm not
play around with the dual mice mode for a new mini game in the Bravely Default remaster, which is pretty much all I'll talk about because, I mean, this is a remaster of a 3DS game, which is pretty well known on RP Gamer, so I don't think there's anyone that would listen to this
Well,
that
no,
doesn't know.
then we'll take it in its default configuration.
Yes. Maybe I'll give it another shot, but there's too many other things to play right now. But,
Be so many things to play. The Switch launch is
yes.
horrifying.
But the mini game I got to play was bonkers and kind of freaking awesome. So the conceit is you're controlling like an airship while like most of the characters in the game are like yelling instructions at you. So you're using the two Joy-Cons as like mice and moving around to like hand cursors on the screen, controlling different parts of the airship. So like you might have to steer like by grabbing a wheel and spinning it different directions, pulling a lever up or down to change your altitude, grabbing a wrench to fix things, like pressing buttons, and these like the mouse mode works, it just works like as you'd expect. It feels like a mouse. Like I was when I was grabbed them and just started playing, I barely thought about it. Like I didn't have to think, okay, like this is how I move it. I don't even know what button I was pressing. It was just so natural. I guess I may have an advantage here because I can use a mouse left-handed or right-handed, so maybe that gives me an advantage to this. But yeah, using both at the same time is certainly an adjustment. But it doesn't feel weird like at all. Like if you set this up on like a desk, connected it to like a computer monitor, it just works. But I mean, yeah, that was about it. I just played the mini game and it was a lot of fun. Like starts off teaching you like how to use each of the different elements, and then you kind of go on a run and have to do lots of things at once. Like, oh, steer here, aim up here. You have to like steer the airship through rings and then like fix things and press different buttons as it goes along. I don't know why this isn't in the game, but it's neat. So whatever.
Yeah, did they give any indication of how this, like, was this meant to be integrated into the core game, or?
No.
Okay.
And this was just like a bonus demo, connected to a game I we'll talk about later this month.
Yeah, different game.
Yes. But that was that. And then before I talk about the next game, let me just trying to think of any other random things from the day. Larian was at PAX East because they're always at PAX East for I don't actually know why.
Why not?
I don't complain. It's always the Baldur's Gate 3 set. They must.
Announce Baldur's Gate 3 for Switch 2. You cowards.
Oh yeah, that would be sweet. They must just leave that like their whole booth somewhere in Boston.
There exists the possibility. I know this was how it was with E3 back when that was still a thing people that did and cared about. But back then, like if you if in that convention situation, if you like stopped renewing your space, it would be hard to get it back.
Okay.
So it's potentially possible that this is a situation where, like, they keep renewing space with PAX East so that they don't have to worry about getting it back later.
Okay. I mean, I feel like they have room to fit more on that show floor, but I don't know anything about the administration of this thing.
You never
You
know.
never know. But yeah, I
There
went
might
to,
be fire codes involved.
yeah. But yeah, I went there and I grabbed Baldur's Gate 3 for PS3 because fuck it, because they had
I
the,
assume you didn't mean PS3 when you said
or sorry,
that.
PS5. Yeah, my brain is shot. Because it was only $80, and which is a nice deal for that, like basic collector's edition. And in fact,
Oh, yeah, nice.
the Larian employee who checked me out was also surprised that they were selling it for
That it was a mere
$80.
$80.
Yes, it's like, oh, that's a good deal. Like, yes, it is. Yeah.
That's why I'm purchasing it.
Yes, Larian is cool. My Larian games. I got some pictures taken with a Buster sword in front of like a Midgar backdrop. Not at a Square Enix booth, mind you. This was at the
What?
Wizards. This was at the Wizards of the Coast booth,
Oh, of course, because magic.
because they were revealing like all the cards for that set this weekend.
Nice.
So that is cool. Let's see. During like the media hour, I got handed a token to play a claw machine at the Samsung booth by filling out a short survey. Won a pop figure. Quickly realized I did not want to carry this pop figure around all day, and it did not fit in my backpack because I had the previously mentioned Baldur's Gate 3 edition taking up all the space. So I just left it on a random chair for someone to find.
I don't need this.
Yes. Okay, well, let's see, other games. Next up, I got to go to XSEED slash Marvelous's booth.
Yeah.
Don't think there's actually any distinction between those two anymore, really.
XSEED is a division of Marvelous.
Yeah. So I played, and both of these were played on PC. FYI, I did not get to play either of these games on Switch 2, even though they're coming to Switch 2. Story of Seasons Grand Bazaar, which is a remake of a DS game I know literally nothing about.
At the time, known as Harvest Moon Grand Bazaar.
Yes. Which is it's a car Story of Seasons slash Harvest Moon game where you do all the usual things, and also there's like a bazaar you can sell things at. But the remake is looks extremely nice and charming, as that series has in its last few entries, and just seemed very,
I mean, being charming is kind of its like stock and trade.
yeah. But I mean, this is a series I've wanted to try and play some games in and always kind of play for a bit and then trail off. But maybe this will be the one because the bizarre aspect of it was actually pretty fun. Like you have to, it's like a timed little shop management thing, which is actually fits quite nicely into the whole like gameplay loop of Harvest Moon. So I will probably pick that up when it comes out, and I think it's August. Yeah,
Yeah, that sounds about right.
it seemed really fun, very charming, very relaxing, chill game.
As it should be.
Yes, but then I got to play the game I really, really wanted to play while at PAX, which is the new Rune Factory, whose
And
name
you fucking sold me
escaped me.
on it,
Yes.
motherfucker.
So I got to play. There were two different demos. One, like town management and one actual combat. and I played the combat one first, which again it's on PC but ran like smooth as fuck, and this game looks gorgeous.
I'd be shocked if it's not running at 60 on Switch.
I'm sure it will be. But yeah, this game looks gorgeous. The combat is straightforward but very, very fun. Like, I guess there's a lot of different weapons in the game. The one I had was like throwing some kind of like homing fire stars at enemies. I don't really know what it was. But I could bring up like a wheel at any time to switch between different elemental weapons like water, earth, fire to use as like a secondary weapon, which also had like secondary, don't want to call them super attacks, but like special attacks you can build up over time. And
buddy, that's a super attack.
Yeah. but the dungeons were, seemed like the Rune Factory dungeons have never been like super complicated or anything. Like even in the last one, even though it had a more of a 3D engine, well, they were all 3D engines, but that one,
even though it was a more 3D game.
Yes. This felt like more, I would say, trying to think of something to compare it to. Why can't I think of the recent Mana game? Not quite as 3D as that, but like bigger, and this is more like a third person camera. It's not like top down like most, like all the other Rune Factory games are.
Although you did tell me that. Oh, God.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say you did tell me that like it's still possible to farm top down.
Yes. Yeah. I'll talk about that in a second. But the other interesting aspect of this is I had three party members with me the whole time, which normally in this game you have like you could bring like one person along in with you in combat. So having like a full party was very interesting, and I got to do a boss fight, which is pretty cool. But also exploring, it felt like there was a lot more exploring than you would. It was normally in Rune Factory. Like,
this is talking my language.
Yes, like I like Rune Factory a lot, but like I said, the dungeons in previous games were, I hate to call them basic, but they were kind of basic. Just, you know, you'd like go.
It was clear that like Rune Factory started from the notion of what if Story of Seasons had combat,
right?
Right. And it had been slowly branching out from that, from where it was just like, okay, you're still mostly Harvest Moon, you just have a veneer of additional like action RPG on it. And then as successive entries have occurred, we've gotten more and more substance to that non-Harvest Moon aspect.
And I think this is the first time it's felt like, okay, this is like a full-ass like RPG dungeon. Instead of just like seasoning on top of your farm sim, this is like an actual evolution.
This is doing both.
This felt like way more even than like the last game. I mean, again, it's not going to be like the most in-depth action RPG ever or anything, but as far as like a package of mixing together the life sim and the action RPG, I think this is like a really nice sweet spot.
Nice. And I'm excited.
Yeah. And near the end of when I was exploring some outside area, got to top of a mountain. Oh, let me backtrack for a second. Another interesting aspect of the combat is you can hold down like the left trigger and aim with a bow. Just kind of standard like shooter controls.
Yeah.
Which was a kind of a nice thing to mix into the combat. And it seemed like there were also like some mild puzzles and other hidden things you can do with that. Like I was crossing a bridge outside and noticed like something that looked like a target hanging above the exit of the end bridge and shot that, and a character popped up and started talking to me.
That's fun.
But yeah, like it's just way more interactive dungeons than the series has ever done. And
Nice.
shortly after that, I got get to the top of a mountain, look off like the side of a cliff, and see like a treasure chest on like a ledge sticking out of the water that I can't seem to reach. So it's like, oh, I wonder if it seems like there's even more like movement mechanics that weren't in this demo that open up at some point, like maybe like a glider
Ooh.
or something else. But yeah, it was very impressive. And then we get to like the town management, which I guess they told me there's four different towns you can kind of manage in this game, one for each season.
Oh, that's neat.
And there's like blights in these towns that you need like certain weapons that you get in the game as the story progresses to clear away, so that kind of probably locks off certain parts of each of the village that you can't do until you get those weapons. But the farm management was very interesting because it wasn't just like, okay, here's like a hoe, go like clean out some land. It was like, okay, I can call up this character and create tiles. Like here's like a farm, here's like a rice paddy tile, or here's a road tile. And then you can either place those in like just like the third person view, like start farming areas and watering areas like you normally would if you want to do that, or you can switch to a top-down view and kind of manage placing all these in a much easier way. And I was told that in addition to being able to use the mouse on the PC to manage towns that way, you can also use mouse mode on Switch 2 to do this.
I would have expected no less, but I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah. So that is cool. Like I do enjoy kind of like the tactile feel of like going around watering plants and like plowing fields, but this is just it's
So,
way easier and
sometimes you
it's very nice.
just want to quickly do
Yeah,
that.
and I think especially that can be a little tedious with like a third person camera. It's just not as it's not as easy to get a view of exactly what as easy to get a nice view of like the lay of the land with that camera. So a nice top-down view to see everything is nice. And in addition to that, you can assign like townsfolk different tasks. And there's like a whole management thing behind it. Like one thing they showed me like is oh they showed me like oh here's a list of your villagers. They have different traits. Like this person is timid, or not timid, anxious, and they may just get anxious and like fuck off out of town at any point. But they each have like different strengths and weaknesses. Like this one's good at farming. This one's good at like other tasks. You can kind of set what they want to do. So you can automate a lot of farming, or as they pointed out, you can set them on some tasks and which will free you up to do other tasks in the town. So that was very interesting because that's a, like a lot more in depth than I was expecting out of like the farming, and a lot just like a lot different than what I was expecting. Like I usually expect just kind of standard like story of season stuff, and this seemed like way more not necessarily in depth but different.
It seems like they're kind of making a big swing with this one.
Yeah. And obviously, there's a lot. This is there's a whole story, as the Rune Factory games usually
Tend to have,
have. Yes, and I mean, generally, I think they let you like continue farming and stuff when the story ends. But yeah, like there's two different protagonists, a male and a female, and that's not just a simple choice because the one you don't pick will still be like a character you
They're
can.
still a person.
There's still a person in the game. And they pointed out that like you can even like romance the other character that you don't pick, which is neat. But yeah, I was super impressed. Like, I am ready to play that
Yeah,
game right now.
like Wheels was excited for this game, but like the way that he was talking about it afterward caused me to just throw on a pre-order. It's like,
Yeah.
okay, if he's this high on it, I'm ready to give that a try,
Yeah.
which increases the irresponsible number of Switch 2 games that will own at launch, but that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've always enjoyed the series, but I feel like I like the look and feel of the last one a lot, but I don't think it was really took the series in any kind of direction.
There is still unexplored potential
Yes,
there.
other than it's nice to have the series back, and this is like, okay, the series is back, and now we're going to evolve it in fun and
Now
interesting
that we've
directions.
reestablished what it is, now we can do
Yes.
new things
Now
with
we can really take Rune Factory to the next level, and it really feels like that. Like, which is interesting to play that back to back with a super traditional Story of Seasons game.
Which, that's good to have.
No,
Like,
it's
if you
great.
just want that classic Story of Seasons, Grand Bazaar is waiting in the wings a couple months later.
And I will be purchasing both of these games. That was absolutely my takeaway from this. Like, these.
Would you say they exceeded your expectations?
I might even say they were marvelous.
Ah!
But yeah, great stuff. Great stuff. Can't wait to play more of those games. And after that, we played the most Wheels game of the show, Monster Train
That's so
2.
Wheels.
Monster Train 2.
What the?
Deck building roguelike. This is a game for me, and as a fact, I almost successfully completed a run during my demo. And in fact, one of the people doing the demo was like, "Oh, that was a you chose like the hardest to use version of that character, and almost completed a run, and also made some very clever plays along the way." So, yeah, fun game. Fun game. It is, if you played Monster Train 1, it is very much more Monster Train, which is, for anyone that has never played it, it's a deck building roguelike where I don't know what the story concept is. Your weird train running through hell, protecting yourself against angels or demons and some shit. I don't know. But the whole concept is like you have three floors you have to defend, and you can place units, and the enemies will like make their way up as you go from turn to turn, and eventually a boss character will show up, and you just have to use your cards carefully and whatnot. It definitely did not feel very different from the first game, so it almost seems like more of the first game, but with a whole new set of cards, which is fine. And they also threw they're also it's like a Balatro crossover and an Inscription crossover.
I feel like we're going to see a lot of Balatro crossovers in the coming years.
I'm sure. I was hoping they'd also tell me there's a Slay the Spire crossover, but not
It
as of
time.
yet. Yes. I do love seeing some of the indie games crossover like that. But yeah, I don't have a lot to say to that one. There were lots of new mechanics. It's very good, very entertaining. And that one is actually out in 2 weeks, so it definitely feels like a more polished version of the first game, which is fine, and honestly, if they're going to every few years come out with a new one of these with new mechanics and whatnot, I'm fine with that. Like, I wish Slay the Spire would do that. Slay the Spire 2 has taken way too long for me. But this is very much a genre that seems to be becoming more saturated, and I really think this is like better than anything else coming out in that genre.
Love train,
Okay.
love train.
And then we get to the final game, the game I honestly was not interested in that very much at all, and just signed up for a demo for it because why not? And that game is Shadow Labyrinth. Bandai Namco's weirdo band, what did I just
Can't
call
even
them? Oh my
tell if that
god.
was a bit. He just called
No.
them Bando
Bandai
Namco.
Namco. Their weird Metroidvania that's coming out this summer. And I came away from the demo wanting to go and pre-order right away. I feel like a lot of times Metroidvanias can be very hard to show people just based on trailers, and especially this one, which is just weird, like not just like the Pac-Man weirdness, but just like other like Namco, old Namco arcade games referenced in this. This game's weird,
Damn God.
it was very, very fun to play. Like you have it gave me very much like the look and feel felt very Metroid. Although, like you have a melee attack, you don't shoot or anything. But it felt very fun to move around. Like you have a grapple right away, and I was grappling around, exploring, found some health power-ups even. And you get like special abilities. You can s switch between like I had some kind of sh shield mechanic to kind of to do a block, and some like powerful swing that kind of has a long wind up, so you have to time it right. And of course, there's the whole concept where you can periodically change into like a giant monster thing. And also you have your little Pac-Man following you around. And there were segments where I would compare it to like Morph Ball segments in Metroid, where you just kind of turn into the Pac-Man thing. Like this section I played with that was there were like parts of the wall you can jump on, and you turn in the Pac-Man thing, and you kind of move like Pac-Man along those sections of the wall, and you use that to kind of traverse the section where you kind of go up the wall, and then you jump off, and you turn back in your main character, and it can kind of use your other abilities to maneuver around to get to other walls like that to continue getting to different areas. It just the movement and the mechanics for exploring were really fun, and really intuitive. Like I played this on a Switch and just kind of picked it up and was off and running, and it was really, really fun. And then did a boss fight with, which kind of reminded me of, forget his name, one of the bosses in Metroid, but it was like a giant dinosaur looking thing with like a long neck, and you would have to like wait for it to try and slam you with the horn on its head and then dodge out of the way and attack the horn. What the hell is the name of that boss? Metroid Kraid, maybe? I don't know, but it definitely felt like a Metroid-y boss. And but yeah, it was very cool, and like the whole concept of they were telling me about the whole concept of like some weird connected universe between all of Namco's old arcade games, which is just sounds really dumb, and I kind of love it. Like, so I'm curious to see what other Namco properties are in this game.
We demand Baraduke representation.
I don't know what that is, but there was Dig Dug.
The protagonist of Baraduke is Dig Dug's ex-wife. Mr. Driller Cannon says that the protagonist of Baraduke, Kissy, married Dig Dug, and they got some sort of messy divorce. Their child was Mr. Driller.
Oh my God. Oh, I think they said Mr. Driller is in here.
There's Dig
Of
Dug. There ought to
course.
be Mr. Driller.
Yeah.
There is a Mr. Driller. There was a not a Dr Mr. Driller. There was a Dig Dug DS game that was about how Dig Dug was upset that his son was more popular than him.
Oh my God.
The Namco canon is murky and weird.
Yeah. But I appreciate it now. But yeah, like I said, like you watch a trailer for this game, and I don't think just looking at it gives it any justice. I hope there's a demo for this.
Yeah, I think that like a demo will probably sell a lot of people on this who are sort of looking at it like, I don't know if I trust this.
Yeah,
Because I've seen a lot of
it's
people comment like, wait, what's this weird fucked up Pac-Man Metroidvania?
yeah. But yeah,
So
it
like I think
just
they have eyes, but I think they need to finish that sell, and I think a demo might be reasonable.
and I guess kind of wish I was there on Saturday. I guess they're having a panel with Mr. Jeremy Parrish, I guess, about this game and about Metroidvanias in general. So it feels like they knew how to approach this genre, and playing it feels like they definitely did their homework. Like, if you've listened to our show, you know I am very picky about Metroidvanias because I've played so many mediocre ones because it's a huge genre in the indie world. And this one felt really good. I can't wait to I can't wait to play this game. I may even try and review it, actually, if we cover it on the site. I don't know if we actually do.
Adventure Corner.
There you go.
Adventure is nice and broad.
Yeah, I was not ex I honestly didn't know what to expect. But it was just cool. It had like nice music. It looks really nice. I guess there is going to be a Switch 2 version of this game with 60 frames per second. Although, like I said, I played it on a Switch 1 and it
I'm
was
sure it's
totally
fine at
fine.
30.
It's totally fine there. So don't worry about that. Physically, it's only going to be Switch 1 and PS5 for those interested in that. And I guess there's some kind of nice collector's edition on the Namco Bandai store they were telling me about. They did give me some cool pins, which I can't show because this is an audio show. But it's like one of those, I forget what they call them, like a holographic pin or whatever. You look at it and it's like the Pac-Man logo, and you turn it and it's like the evil looking Pac-Man and the Shadow Labyrinth logo, which is cool. But yeah, I walked away from that demo just feeling like they know what this is, they know what they're doing with this, and just like this is in good hands. And honestly, I'm kind of shocked that Bandai Namco greenlit this, and I hope they
They've
have.
been prone to letting their old stuff be reused in very left field ways, so I'm not that shocked, but it is still interesting.
Yeah. I hope they have more realistic expectations than apparently Ubisoft did for Prince of Persia.
I trust they do.
Yeah, based on the conversation I had there, I trust they do, and like this is like their Pac-Man person. Like, he just works on Pac-Man related PR stuff. So and he seemed extremely excited for this game, and that's like when the people working on the game, you can feel their excitement. I think that says a lot. Like this game just seems really fun, and yeah, I ho hopefully other people have the same reaction. But yeah, it's cool. I am up for weirdo pen more weirdo stuff like this. It's cool. Yeah, and I think it's been in trailers, but yeah, after being the boss, like your Pac-Man turns into the giant evil Pac-Man thing and consumes it. It's cool.
Pac-Man, no, we were friends.
Yeah, but and then after that, I got a briefly saw like the Dig Dug inspired enemies, which is just cool because it's like, oh, you can't damage these enemies. I don't know how to do this. And it's like, oh, okay. Use the grappling hook and pump up and explode these enemies as you'd expect. So I'm guessing actual knowledge of some of these old arcade games will probably assist in this game. But yeah, I'm excited to see what other weird things they are. I asked how long it was, and he said like 30 to 40 hours, depending on how completionist you are, which is pretty big for Metroidvania. So he said it's a huge map. So yeah. Look for forward for that. I think this is, I can't remember if this is even being priced as like a full price game. Let me look that up real quick before I
Yeah.
forget. Yeah, it's physical edition, $30.
Hell
That's
yeah.
fucking crazy.
I'll not go in on that.
Unfortunately, I forgot to ask if there's any kind of upgrade pack if you pack. If you like get the Switch 1 version, if there's any upgrade to the Switch 2 version, so I don't know there, but
Yeah, if there's an upgrade path, I don't think they've announced it, although I wouldn't be surprised if one ends up happening.
yeah. Yeah, Shadow Labyrinth. Highly recommend people keep an eye on this one, because it won me over, and very quickly too. Like, just one of those Metroidvanias you just pick up, and it's just like, oh, this just feels the just. I think this was my reaction to like Prince of Persia too. Like playing that one first, like this is made by people who understand this genre and can do this very well. So. And yeah, that was about it for PAX.
PAX is over before it began.
PAX is over, even though there's three days of it left, and those are the days when more people will be there, because
Because you were there on a Thursday.
I was there on a Thursday, and I didn't have to wait in line for lunch at all. It was the
Motherfucker.
best.
I miss seeing you at PAX.
Yeah.
I only ever got to do that once, but it was fun.
Yeah. We have to try and find some way to do that again sometime.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any other pack stories? I bought some limited run games. Got Dark Forces in a VHS style case. So that's the thing. And Metal
All
Slug
right.
Tactics, which I don't know if it's any good, but whatever. Give it a try.
Metal Slug Ticks.
But yeah, that's about it for PAX. I feel like I had some other funny story, but I can't remember what it was now. And my brain is shot. Damn it, what the hell was it? I don't know. Okay, let's wrap this up. That's it for PAX.
We won't be doing Thursday episodes very often, but we also had things.
Yes. As of recording this, I haven't done the post for last week's episode, so this will probably be going up at the same time as the Monday episode. So you'll get two episodes for the price of one. But yeah, that's it. See you next time. Peace.